From Montana for Montana, it's Voices of Montana. Hi, I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and please contact me here for show suggestions or comments at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
If you have Medicaid or Healthy Montana Kids, it's time to renew your coverage. Not sure you still qualify? Don't wait. Complete and return your Medicaid redetermination packet today. If you haven't received a packet yet, you will soon. Follow the instructions you receive in the mail from DPHHS or complete it online before the due date at apply.mt.gov. That's apply.mt.gov. Brought to you by DPHHS.
You know, one of the terms we, I think, dislike nowadays or don't necessarily, and it's appropriate, it is appropriate at times, politics as usual. We see, we hear that, politics as usual, and I think we go, I'm not sure I'm liking things as usual. We are certainly in, I think, a pickle in our country. We heard about it yesterday. Senator Steve Daines was on the air. Folks called in, said, yes, I agree, we are not in the right direction. Not going in the right direction. Well, we'll kick off with this new law that we can't get off the ground necessarily, allowing charter schools in Montana. That today on Voices of Montana. I will get into some of these new education bills and how parents are really getting involved. I think we see, well, I mean, to be honest, it's the sexualization of our children. I think by a very much a fringe element in our society, our government is supporting that as well. It's just, we can, we need to turn that tide. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. One of those ways I think that the tide is turning is because parents are involved and regular citizens like you and me, you know, not the business as usual or the politics as usual kind of folk. That involves getting charter schools in Montana. Now, we've talked about it an awful lot and appreciate it. We're mostly kind of on the pro side of this. You know, options, I think, are good. We also, in my mind, I think we're not efficient in our school system. I mean, there's a lot of things we have noted. We don't want to malign our teachers in the state because, oh my gosh, they're pouring, a lot of them are pouring their heart and souls out into their classrooms for the right reasons. But there may be some things that we could help them with, and community choice schools and school choice programs have been one of those tools that are being put forward. Well, of course, as we've talked about this, there is a bill that was passed, HB 562, the Community Choice Schools Act, ruling recently, just yesterday, by District Judge Chris Abbott on that, did grant plaintiffs in a lawsuit which was looking to injunct that or prevent that bill from taking place. It does give them that kind of relief. So we'll talk about that here early on as Kendall Cotton is joining us. He's president and CEO of the Frontier Institute. And Kendall, welcome back to the program. I appreciate that. I know we I'm kind of telling on us a little bit, but we had a news interview scheduled. But I thought, what the heck? Let's just go live with this, Kendall. I appreciate that. How's it going, sir?
Hey, it's going great, Tom. Great to be here live.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. So, first of all, why don't you explain where I left off or the holes I left out when it comes to Montana's movement toward school choice? Now, we've got a charter school bill, which the education system hasn't included in this lawsuit, and you'll probably have some reasoning for that. But why don't you sum things up for us here where I might have missed?
Sure. So for a long time, you know, Montana has lagged behind the rest of the country with school choice options. And in fact, we are one of the last five states in the country that did not have a law on the books authorizing public charter schools as options for families. Now, charter schools, they're public schools, and they're schools that are allowed more flexibility to tailor curriculums and teaching styles to more focus on, you know, unique and particular learning needs of students in a different community. And this year, this spring, the legislature passed, as you mentioned, House Bill 562, the Community Choice Schools Act, which officially finally authorized these community choice schools or public charter schools, as they're often called as well. And what your listeners need to know is that yesterday, a district court judge ruled in the lawsuit challenging this law that he's going to grant a partial injunction. So the law is partially halted. So what the judge said is that the state cannot authorize any charter schools until the lawsuit is completed. But the charter school commission can get formed, write bylaws, and start laying the groundwork for choice schools in the meantime. So it's kind of a temporary delay for parents who have been hoping for these options, but it's also allowing folks who support the school choice movement to start moving forward.
What is the heart of, from your mind, the heart of this objection, the constitutionality of not allowing, I guess, and I'm summing it up here too, but the constitutionality of not allowing folks to vote on their local school boards. Explain that, because I don't think that is actually a full understanding of what this bill does.
Sure. So there are a lot of complicated constitutional questions related to this lawsuit that the plaintiffs are challenging. And, you know, really kind of the heart of the plaintiff's argument was that they contend that this bill allows public dollars to be diverted to what they refer to as private charter schools, you know, privatized schools. And what's interesting is that this order from Judge Abbott yesterday completely debunks that line that we heard from the plaintiffs and from the opponents of school choice broadly over the last year about charter schools. Judge Abbott specifically has now said that choice schools are likely public schools as contemplated by the Montana Constitution. So it's reiterating the fact that we and other proponents of this legislation and this concept have said all along that this is expanding. Charter schools are expanding the options available in the public education system in Montana. We're expanding the public education system and not taking away from it.
Then why grant a temporary or partial injunction here?
I think that some of the reasoning in the order that was issued yesterday was that let's put a pause on on authorizing schools for the time being while this lawsuit sorts things out. Because, you know, if we go ahead and authorize schools right away and then, you know, the law is overturned, that could create some chaos, really, for people as they're getting new schools off the ground. So the judge reasoned, why don't we just say, let's not approve any schools for the time being while I sort out the constitutional questions of this law, but let's let the organizers and the School Choice Commission get together, start laying the groundwork for how we're going to authorize these schools, what's required in the applications, and start building the Community Choice School Commission, which Governor Gianforte and others have been appointing members to.
So then what concerns this judge or what concerns the court from your Kendall Cotton again with us here as we're looking at this issue of the implementation being halted to a certain degree of community choice schools in Montana. It was a bill that was passed in this last legislative session, HB 562. I'm trying to get to the heart of, as you talked about, some constitutional challenges here. Montana, as you noted, one of the last of the 50 states to get on board with public charter schools. Can you explain what might be the biggest point of friction with the Constitution, our state constitution in this?
Sure. Well, so I explained one aspect, which was this question of whether, you know, we're diverting funds under this program to private or privatized schools. That line of reasoning has kind of been debunked at this point by the judge's order. And so, you know, the other questions that are left to be decided here are whether these schools and the structure that was created to govern these public choice schools is conforming with our constitutional requirements that the Board of Public Education has general supervision over public education and public schools in the state. And so the question to be decided here is in this court case is whether choice schools, how they're set up under this new framework, will truly be under the general supervision of the Board of Public Education in the state as the Constitution requires. I know that the plaintiffs, you know, the kind of education establishment folks contend that it is not, and they're autonomous, while the state has argued that, no, this law does conform with the Constitution. And, in fact, in the bill, choice schools must be under the general supervision of the Board of Public Education. So that's kind of the heart of the question that is left to be answered here.
Kendall Cotton again with us here from the Frontier Institute, frontierinstitute.org. Kendall, I appreciate what you guys do there, and I've talked about it. We've chatted in the past as well. I think it's a really super good grassroots organization. You stay focused on some issues that I think are winnable, I guess, or something that we as a community can do more about. So I very much appreciate that. Let me just ask about, as Montana is just now kind of getting on board here, what has been the result of, do we see community choice programs in most of these other states, or are they mostly public charter school programs? How effective has that been in terms of raising the level of knowledge among our students?
Well, in general, when states are allowing for more options, we definitely see improved learning outcomes. And particularly for those students who you know, don't really fit in the usual standard box for education. For instance, there's charter schools in places like Arizona that are being set up to cater specifically to students with autism. Or, you know, there's actually a mom in Billings here in Montana who's expressed interest in creating a charter school that's tailored towards teaching kids with dyslexia. And so allowing a lot more flexibility with the standards that regular traditional public schools are required to abide by, it allows these entrepreneurs who want to create these schools and communities who want to get together to create these choice schools to build a school that can specifically tailor towards some needs that are being unmet in the community. And so, you know, from my perspective, from what I've seen across the country, is that these have been tremendous options for kids who just don't fit in that standard box of education, and they need some more focused help.
You know, and I have to ask the question, too, as we start pushing back and maybe getting more involved, maybe pushing back's not always the right word, but certainly getting more parental involvement, getting more community involvement in our education system, you know, we wonder why our schools have fallen and missed the mark. Are we able to? I'm not saying that all of them do, but many of them. Right. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Are we hitting? Are we hitting the mark when we need?
Well, you know, I went to a public school. I went to Florence High School, and my public education was great.
Yeah,
but there definitely wasn't as many opportunities there as folks in other schools, maybe bigger schools, had in the state. And what we're seeing, especially with all the new folks moving here to Montana who maybe are coming from places like California and they have the money to send their kid to, say, a private school where they can afford to pay tuition on top of, you know, their property taxes that they're paying for their local public school. What we're facing is potentially a growing divide between the people in Montana who can't afford to send their kid to an alternative option other than their public school, and they don't have time to homeschool, and the people who can afford to pursue those other options. And that's a concerning disparity and something that is going to widen over the next, you know, 20 years if we don't start allowing more options that allow, you know, regular families to take their student share of the public money and direct it towards options that better fit their kids. So that's what we see from our perspective as a problem that needs addressing in this state. Montana's been behind the curve. We've definitely seen some big advancements in the last couple of years. And frankly, we want to keep the ball rolling and pursue broadly more control for parents and more options for kids.
Well, and thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I mean, it's an important point. If there is this growing divide and creates this disparity, that's not what our public education system is geared toward. What's the timeline for this lawsuit?
So this lawsuit may extend over a couple years potentially, but I do think that there's a sense of urgency with the state and with the judge. In fact, in the judge's order, you know, he mentioned that you know, the plaintiffs are claiming that they're going to be harmed because you know, they allege that, you know, the public schools are going to lose money under this arrangement, and they're making a lot of claims about them being injured. But the judge also said, on the other hand, there's a lot of parents who want options and want these charter schools as options for their kids. And not allowing this program to move forward is harming them as well. So I think there's a sense of urgency here in the court system. I know that Austin, you know, the Attorney General, Austin Knutson, and his team are going to be fighting tooth and nail to defend this law in the courts. And I look forward to seeing this case proceed. Ultimately, I'm very confident that choice schools in Montana will ultimately be upheld in the courts.
Can opponents of choice schools or public charter schools, can they point specifically to evidence of damage in any form, however that might be defined, damage to our other public schools from approaches like this? Is there any definitive evidence that these charter schools or community choice programs do indeed harm public education?
Right. That was one of the things that the judge is going to continue to look at in this lawsuit. But, you know, some of the discussion made in this latest order said that that was unclear. And, you know, really, we're at the very, very early stages of this program. We don't even know how many choice schools may be set up once this program gets running, or where these choice schools might be. So it's pretty hard to say definitively that this is just going to open up the system and there's going to be chaos. That's definitely not something you can say with any definitive evidence.
I got a couple more text messages here, too. And since we're on, do you have another couple of minutes? You might not,
yeah,
and that's okay.
yep, I got another five. How about that?
Okay. Here's a couple. Where's the funding going to come from to build new schools if we need to build new schools? And also, likewise, are they going to increase local tax base to pay teachers? So the question is, from that practical standpoint, where are these schools going to, are they going to sprout up? How will the teachers be paid?
Mm-hmm. So my understanding is that under this new charter school choice school framework that this bill has created, there's already money allocated by the state to a school district based upon, you know, the amount of students that are going to that school and the projected need for funding that school. So that money is already held by the state. And if a community gets together and says, you know, let's create a choice school in this school district that's going to maybe cater to some different, you know, more specific learning needs, and, you know, maybe a few students from that public school are going to jump over and opt for the choice school now, the state would allocate a partial amount of the public funding for that district to that new choice school. Now, I want to reiterate that these choice schools only get partial public funding. The community members and the entrepreneurs who get together to start these schools, to match the other part of it, they're going to have to go out and raise funds. Mm-hmm. These choice schools will be nonprofit organizations. They can't charge tuition, so they're not making money. They're going to have to go out and get generous donations from community members who want to see options for kids in their community.
Cool. Thank you for that. I mean, you know, thanks for handling us on the fly as well. it is an important issue for Montana. It really is. And I'm glad to see the legislature has made some moves. Education should be on our front burner 24/7, I think. Thanks for the work you're doing. And again, popping on here with short notice. Really appreciate it, Kendall.
Yeah, no problem, Tom. Great to be here.
Yeah, we'll catch up with Kendall later as well. FrontierInstitute.org for more information. President and CEO there, and they really do a lot of good work. I just encourage you to go check out and, you know, do your own research, obviously. Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. And join us daily, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana, a live issue-oriented talk show heard daily, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on local stations all across Montana.